You know, and there was times you didn't feel like studying. There was times you didn't feel like going to class. But you kept doing. You don't wait till the conditions are perfect to get started and to do something. You start where you are right now. You get moving right now. And don't wait for, I got to wait for, you know what? Let me just say this. I wish I'd have put this up on the screen. You know, sometimes we got paralysis analysis or analysis paralysis, however it goes. What do? We analyze, and never do anything. We get paralyzed. We analyze so much that we paralyze and never do anything.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of I Want That Mountain, Part 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I Want That Mountain, Part 1.
In verse 28, and I say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so shall I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all who were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, who have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I spoke unto you to dwell therein, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. He was rewarded two ways. He would see the promised land, and he would outlive everybody else that was over the age of 20. Well, let's fast forward the scene 45 years. 45 years later, we see Caleb in the promised land. And as he is here, now you know what, I never saw, this blows my mind. This blows my mind. Look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. It says here, then the children of Judah came to Joshua. Now, this is after they have started in the promised land. In 40 years, they've been in the wilderness. Now they're entering into the promised land. And the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and look at this, the Kenizzite. Now, wait a minute. Isn't there 12 tribes in Israel? I can think of the 12, and nowhere in there does it say that one of the tribes was the tribe of Kenizzite. Not one place. You know what this tells us? This brother was not even a Hebrew. He was not even of Jewish descent. He was one of these guys like a lot of others that kind of tagged along. And yet and still, he rose, even though he was not a natural born Hebrew, he rose to a rank of leadership because of the spirit that's within him. And so you've got 10 guys from the other tribes, and I'm going to take it that those guys, because Joshua was from Hebrew descent. He was from the tribe of Judah, I believe. And the other guys were from the tribes of Israel. But here you have one man that wasn't even an Israelite. He rises to this position of stature because of the spirit that's within him. And because he followed after God. And so God puts his hand on Caleb. And we see Caleb's request in chapter 14. Now look at this. Another interesting point here is found in verse 2. They begin to divide up the land. You know, where they're going to go and where they're going to conquer it. And how did they do it? Verse 2 says they did it by lot. They cast lots on who was going to get what. Now, I believe that the practice of casting lots was used by God at certain times, and then at times it was a heathen practice, and it really wasn't determining to find out what God's will was. But I believe here they were under the inspiration of God, and they cast lots to find out what land the people would have. So here they were casting lots, and it says in verse 4 that as the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kizanite said unto him, let me, can I throw it at you again? I ain't casting no stinking lot. I'm not casting any lot. He said, don't you remember what the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea? 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to spy out Kadesh Barnea. I brought to him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me had a heart that made the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Because thou, look at this, because why? Thou wholly followed after. He got in God's hip pocket. Because he got in God's hip pocket. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Yeah. The Lord hath kept me alive and said these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and I'm yet as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was with me then, and it even so is with me now, for war to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. I want that mountain where the grapes of Eshcol grow, where the milk and honey flow. I want that mountain that the Lord has given me. The Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how that the Anakim, the giants, were there, and the cities were great and fortified. If it be so, the Lord will be with me. I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua said, go ahead with your bad self. And he gave the land to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Hebronite, for an inheritance. And the Bible says that Caleb went into the land, verse 15, and he drove out the giants that were there, and the land had rest from war. I want that mountain. I don't know about you, saints, but I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. I got about 5 things that's burning in my spirit. Oh, they're like a fire that's shut up in me. I want them. I want them. I want them. I want them. It's my money, and I want it now. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to fire somebody up today. You got something in your spirit. You got something that's down into you. Now, turn the sheet over. I'm going to try to finish this thing up today. I want to climb Mount Everest, not. I'm not going to do it. I'm not that psyched up now. I'm fired up, but I'm not that fired up. Let's look at some things. And hopefully, if I don't finish this today, I'll finish it next week. And, you know, I tried to put this. You know what? I'm learning something. You know, I'd like to go to the gym and, you know, get on the elliptical or get on the treadmill. And I find that when you go there, they got these little ledges, right, that you can put your book on. So, I mean, you can listen to your music, and you can put your book on and read at the same time. So what I started taking little things like this and just putting them on there. And I got my music. I'm listening to my music. But I'm also putting this in my spirit the whole time. You know, I'm on there for, you know, a good 35 minutes. In 35 minutes, I'm putting this in my spirit, right? So I said, well, let me put it in a way that maybe people, when they go to the gym, they can take it and they can put it on the little thing and they can just look at this. You know what I mean? Listen to your music and then look at point one. Listen to your music, look at point two. Or if you want to look at point seven or point six, you know, however you want to do that. Let me give you 7 things. And like I said, if we finish, today we finish. If not, we'll finish next week. How do you reach your goals? As we look at the life of Caleb, how do you reach your goals? Well, the first thing, Caleb caught a vision of the goal. He caught a vision. Look back in Numbers 13. And look, it says that the people in verse 23, it says in they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with clusters of grapes, and they bore it between two open a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down there. Look, what did they saw? They saw the land. And they saw the beauty of the land. And they saw the vision. Oh, so somebody pray with me this morning. Somebody pray with me this morning. They saw the vision. But you know what? They didn't catch it. They saw the vision, but they didn't catch the vision. Look, you know why you know they didn't catch it? Look, go back to verse 2 of 13. The Lord said to Moses, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, that they might see it, all right, that they might see the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. See, they missed that part right there. I give it to them. They saw the vision, but they didn't catch the vision. And somebody has wisely said that some things are taught and other things are caught. And you know, we can get so tied up into reading the word and focusing on the word and studying the word that we are taught the word, but we don't catch what it's saying. You know, there was a husband whose wife liked to go shop. And she would always go shopping and look in the windows and go through the stores and look at the stores. And he said, why is it that you always go shopping, but you never buy anything? And she said, why is it that you always go fishing and never catch anything? And so we go look and we see, but we don't catch it. We don't catch it. There was 12 of them, and they all went to the land, and they all saw the land, but only two caught it. One of my favorite, I don't watch a lot of movies, but one of my favorite movies is Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. I try to, man, when it's Christmas time, I try to find that at least once. I'll search to see if I can find that. But you remember he was looking for that Christmas bonus, and he was going to build a new swimming pool. And he got his envelope, and all the trouble he was having, his lights didn't come on, and all the problems he was having was all going to be made right with that Christmas bonus, right? And he got the envelope, and he opened it up, and all that was in the envelope was a gift certificate for some fruit. And remember, he got hot, and he went off, and he made this comment. He said, hey, if any one of you are looking for a last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him to be brought from his happy holiday slumber over here in my living room. Now, Chevy Chase's in-laws were there. His parents were there. His wife was there. His other relatives were there. And they all heard him say it. But only one person caught it. You remember the brother got in there? He got in his big trailer truck, whatever that was, drove over to this nice neighborhood and snatched that guy up and brought him over and put him in the living room. See, a lot of people heard Chevy Chase say that, right? But only one person caught it. And God is looking for some Calebs. God is looking for some people who will go spy out the land. He's looking for some people who will go look at the land and catch the vision. We can sit back and we can talk about the vision and we can talk about what we saw and we can talk about what's there. But God is looking for somebody that will catch it. The second thing we see here is that Caleb did not wait for the perfect conditions. Look at chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 26. And it says, let's go to verse 28. It says, "Nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the land, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the edge of the Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and possess it, for we are well able." Well, let's wait until we get our little army together. Let's wait until we train up some soldiers. Let's wait until they invent steel and we can make some arrows with steel points on them. You see, Caleb didn't wait for the perfect condition. He was ready to move when the odds were against him. And so we have to learn that when God puts a goal before us, that we have to motivate ourselves regardless of the condition, and watch this, regardless of the condition and regardless of how we feel. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going fighting the giants. I don't feel like going up against the walled cities. See, if you want to reach your goal, you've got to begin to do it when the conditions aren't perfect. You got to go out there and you got to start in the midst of when it's a barrenness, when there's a desert, when there's nothing around, no encouragement, no accolades, no applause, no kudos. You get out there and you start with your bare hands, you start digging in the dirt, and you start working when the conditions are unfavorable. You get started, and you keep on moving. It's just like going to college, right? You know one thing, a brother from the hood like me, I'm the first person in my family that graduated from college. First person in my family that graduated from college. I didn't think I was going to make it. I know I had some struggles. But you know one thing I kept seeing when I was in, I flunked out the first year in college. I'm going to be honest with you. I think my first year I had like a 0.07 or something like that. I flunked out the first year. But when I got back, you know what I saw? I saw myself walking across that stage. You know, and there was times you didn't feel like studying. There was times you didn't feel like going to class. But you kept doing. You don't wait till the conditions are perfect to get started and to do something. You start where you are right now. You get moving right now. And don't wait for, I got to wait for, you know what? Let me just say this. I wish I'd have put this up on the screen. You know, sometimes we got paralysis analysis or analysis paralysis, however it goes. What do? We analyze, and never do anything. We get paralyzed. We analyze so much that we paralyze and never do anything. Because we're sitting back trying to wait for the perfect conditions to line up. And sometimes God says, if I put something on your spirit, then you just need to go ahead and do it. Regardless of who's there, who's not there, who's at the table, who's not at the table, I told you to do it, and you just go ahead and do it. Don't wait for the conditions to get perfect. Man, yeah, things would be perfect. If we had $9 million and we had 100,000 people and we had all these resources, you know, yeah, it would be great. But you know what? Let's get started with what we got and move ahead. Let me hit this third point now, and I'll be finished for today. Let me hit this third point. I still got four more next week. So, you know, come back. You say, well, I'm just going to read the notes, and I don't need to come back. No, you need to come back because I'm going to say some things that's not in the notes. All right. All right, point number three. Caleb did something every day that moved him closer to his goal. Every day, he did something that moved him closer to his goal. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive and said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word unto Moses, while the children of Israel did what? Wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. See, they saw it. Oh, somebody help me this morning. They saw it as wandering. Caleb saw it. Hey, baby, it's just another day that I'm closer to my goal. God already told me I wasn't going to die like the rest of y'all clowns. He already told me that I'm going to see the land. So, you know, you can wander out here. You can see it as wandering. But I just see it as another day that I'm closer to what God has called me to do. And brothers and sisters, if you got a goal on a regular basis, if not daily, at least on a regular basis, you should be doing something to move towards the goal that God has given you. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, he said, I press ahead toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me close with reading point number three. Caleb did something every day that moved him closer to his goal. With each passing day of traveling through the wilderness, he realized that he was another day closer to reaching his goal. Motivational author and speaker John Maxwell says, you are what you do daily. Whoa. Let that sink in. I should have got a few more amens than that. You are what you do daily. Every day you live, you are in the process of becoming. Becoming what? Becoming whatever you're doing. Whether you are becoming better or worse depends on what you devote yourself to. What are you moving closer to? See, the sad reality for many of God's people, we'll just get up tomorrow and it'll just be like the people who died in the wilderness, right? We're just wandering around waiting to die. Oh, man. What a tragedy. We're just wandering around waiting to die. Or we can be like Caleb. We can see every day in that wilderness, I'm becoming something. And the one thing that he saw himself becoming was a day closer to the goal that God.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of I Want That Mountain, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, I Want That Mountain, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want That Mountain, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Want That Mountain, Part 1. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.